Okay, this is the 9/11 Truth Cell Conference for the 29th of October 2014. Ken Freeland facilitating. We have, let's go ahead and do the roll then. I don't know, Craig, do you have any of the names that are already on, or do you want to just like ask people to go ahead and start?
I have some, but I think maybe it might be better if people.
Once you read the names of the ones you have, and then we'll ask everybody else to chime in and also let us know that they're here, okay?
Okay. I have Ken Freeland, Craig McKee, Barbara Honegger, Les Jameson, James Hufford, and that's the only ones I've got. Frank, but I'm not sure which Frank this is.
Okay, Frank Tolupko, Berkshire 9/11 Truth.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
The great Frank Tolupko.
Yes.
Got him. And then, was it Nita Renfro?
Nita Renfro, New York.
How do you spell that?
R-E-N-F-R-E-W, and Nita is N-I-T-A.
N-I-T-A Renfro, okay, got it. So that's all I've got so far.
Dave Schlesinger.
Dave's, okay.
And Tim Michael, California.
Michael.
Ron Avery, Texas.
Ah, Ron, I'm glad you made it. I got to get your phone number before you leave, okay?
Okay.
Was that Dylan Avery?
Ron Avery. Ron.
R-O-N.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Dylan's on?
No, he's not. I wondered for a second when I heard Avery, but I couldn't.
Oh.
No, it's Ron Avery.
I was going to say that.
Well, indeed. To me, too. Anybody else?
Barton Bruce from Boston 9/11 Truth.
Martin Bruce, okay.
Yeah, Nicholas Guillermo from Activism Truth.
Okay, can you spell your last name for me, Nick?
Sure, it's just like the name Guillermo, that's Spanish for William, usually a first name.
Yeah.
G-U-I-L-L-E-R-M-O.
Okay. And it's Activist Truth?
Activism Truth.
Activism Truth. Okay, great. Thank you.
This is Pablo in Mexico City from the 9/11 crash test.
Okay. Yeah? Got you?
Mike Booth, Lafayette, Indiana.
Mike Booth? Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Anybody else? Okay, so I can read back what I've got?
Yes.
Sorry?
Please.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Craig McKee, Barbara Honegger, Wayne, did I hear Wayne Costi? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. I said that before. Okay, Frank Tolopko, Ken Freeland, Les Jameson, James Hufford, Nita Renfro, Dave Schlesinger, Tim Michael, Ron Avery, Barton Bruce, Nick Guillermo, Pablo Shanes, and Mike Booth. Did I get everybody?
Did anybody not hear their name mentioned? Would you do that one more time, please? Or give me the total count of the number of people that you have, either one.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15 I have.
Okay. That's it. We're good to go then. All right. So the first item on our agenda, as always, is approval of the minutes that were circulated by Craig for the previous meeting. Any objections to approving those minutes? Hearing none, then we'll take the minutes. Oh, I'm sorry, Barbara. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just clarifying. Are you talking about approving last month's minutes or
yeah, the minutes for the previous meeting that were circulated by Craig. Okay, so everybody's cool on approving that, and we move on to the agenda for tonight. Draft agenda was circulated, as always, and does anybody have any requests to modify the agenda in any way?
28 declassified.
Okay, what do you want to do with that? Would you like, can you summarize what you're doing in 5 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody have any objections, since these folks have to leave to go on another call soon, giving them 5 minutes at the beginning of our agenda to let us know what's going on with that program?
No, I'd just like to say it's Barb, that both Wayne and Dave can speak to that. So 5 minutes between them. They can divide it up.
Not
like
me. Less.
It's five minutes total because we have a very tight agenda. So once we get started, it will be a total of 5 minutes for that item, okay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I just like to get a copy of the agenda.
I can email you. Who's this?
Tim Michael with 9/11 Truth Outreach.
I don't think I have your email address. Does anybody else have his email address?
Yes.
Great. Do you have it?
Dave Schlesinger.
No, I don't.
I'll send it to him right now. I'll take care
of it.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right. So that's done. And so are any other changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none.
What I have to present has a lot of different steps. And rather than having just 5 minutes and 10, 15 minutes of questions and answers, I think I'd like to present my whole project I have here. Having questions, minimize that people can ask those me directly or on the forum that they can be.
Who's speaking?
Who's calling? Who's talking?
Nicholas Guillermo.
I'm sorry? Who's speaking?
Nicholas Guillermo.
Nicholas. Okay, so you'd say rather than taking 5 minutes yourself, you'd rather just do what?
Well, I'd rather use a little bit more time and, leave, because I have a good presentation. I have a lot of stuff I want to convey.
Okay.
Other questions that aren't answered in the amount of time that we have, which it looks like 15 minutes.
Does anybody have any objection to allowing Nicholas to take as much time, to take more time for his part of his issue and less time for questions and answers? I guess you would need an additional maybe 5 minutes for your presentation, do you think?
Yeah, I think it'll be more clear and I'll answer more of the questions that would otherwise come up.
Okay. So rather than 5 and then 10 and 15, it would be 10 and then 5 or 10 minutes of questions, okay? Any objections to change? Okay, so that change is made.
Just to clarify, the total time is just being divided differently.
The whole time is still the same. He's just differentiating, using more time for himself and less time for question and answers, okay?
Yeah, and this is Barb. I think you, Ken, and I talked about I will, instead of taking 10 minutes for my summary, I'll take 5 and we'll have 5 extra minutes for feedback.
Well, yeah, it's just 5 to 10, so you're safe on that, okay? Okay. So any other changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, then we will take the agenda as amended for approved, and we will turn this over to the 28 redacted pages project for a 5-minute summary. Please continue. Oh, I'm sorry. Could I get a volunteer to do timekeeping tonight? Would anybody care to volunteer to keep the time on these things? Because we've got so many that it's very vital that we stay on task here.
And I would request if you could let people know 2 minutes left and then 1 minute left.
Yeah, that's a good point. So would anybody like to volunteer to be our timekeeper tonight? Anybody that has a...
I don't mind.
Who's that?
Nicholas.
I'll keep time when it's your turn. No problem. Okay. All right. Thank you, Nico. Okay. So, let's 28 pages. Go ahead. It's your turn. 5 minutes.
Wayne, do you want to start?
I'm not prepared to make a talk right now. I thought you could cover it pretty well. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah, this is Les Jamison. H.R. 428 is a resolution in the House entered by a Republican from North Carolina, Walter Jones, almost a year ago, December of 2013. And this is all about moving to declassify the 28 redacted pages from the Senate Joint Inquiry, which was the original 9/11 investigation prior to the official 9/11 Commission. They put out a 900-page report back in 2002. Senator Bob Graham at the time was the chair. I think he co-chaired actually with Porter Goss, believe it or not. And at that point, the Bush administration, upon reading the report, decided to classify 28 of these pages. And rather than go into a lot of detail and history about it, we put together, here's what we've done. We put together a website with call to action for the purpose of mobilizing the movement, hopefully beyond even the 9/11 truth movement, to support the passage of this resolution. And it's kind of a new and it's kind of a potential for broad scale political mobilizing here around this legislative action to release these pages of this report, this original report on 9/11. And the website, I will just give it the URL, it's 911truthoutreach.org/declassified28. Okay? And what I would like to do is just be in touch with, I guess, is it James Hufford or Ken Freeland, whoever's the organizer for these monthly calls, if I could just be in touch with you by email. So as the month goes on and developments happen, you know, throughout the month, I can give you guys updates. And because this is also a platform for us to network nationwide to hopefully a higher level of communication and action and organization. So that's something that we can do after the call offline. And like I said, in the coming interim between now and next month's call, because we're working to call legislators, set up meetings. And I'll end with this. The three objectives are, number one, to get the legislators to read the redacted pages, because that would be significant in and of itself. Two, to get us as a movement to lobby them very hard and call for the fact that this is all about transparency, government transparency in a time of overblown secrecy. And three, I think we can press the point that which is what the congressmen are saying, who are co-sponsors. There are 18 co-sponsors, by the way. And one of the things they're saying is that the information in those pages had a serious relevance to what's going on now in the Middle East, in Iraq and Syria. And all that said, I'll finish with this, that for the movement, the 9/11 Truth Alternative Research Community, I think it's significant in that, sure, these pages are like, just, the information contained in the pages are one or two specific areas of the entire broad spectrum of information about 9/11. However, I think there's significant cause to believe that this could unravel the much larger spectrum of 9/11 issues, and this is just being the catalyst. And I think this is significant because these congressmen know what happened to Cynthia McKinney and Kurt Weldon and Mark Dayton and Max Cleland, yet they're still standing up here to take this action. So
that's really good. Just so you know, 5 minutes is up. I want to hear more, but what's the name of that House resolution again? House Resolution
428. Yeah.
H.R. 428.
H.R. 428.
Okay. In fairness to the other people on the agenda, I'm going to have to ask you at this point to call it quits for tonight, but I do need to respond at length to your request. We have a small listserv of some of the more active people on the call that you would be welcome to join to give us updates in the interim. And we can put you on the agenda for next month to have a much longer presentation or update if you would like that, okay?
Perfect. Perfect. Excellent.
Those
Thank
are the
you.
Two recommendations I would make for you. So I'll put it on the agenda. And
sit for dinner.
And that's Ken speaking, right?
This is Ken speaking. Okay, Ken Freeland, right. So send me your email with the request to be added to the listserv, and that way you'll be able to update the people that are in touch with us through the month, okay?
Perfect. Thank you so much, and thank you all for the opportunity to come in, impromptu like this. Thank you so much.
Okay. And anybody else on the call, if you're interested in being on the listserv, send me your email address, and you'll be added, okay? All right. Our next item on the agenda is our presentation. I'm sorry. Who's speaking?
Tim Michael. Where do we send that?
Send it to Ken Freeland. If you don't have my email address, I'll give it to you after the...
I have it, Tim. I have it.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, if you'd like to be on the list, sir. Right. Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Barbara Honegger is going to give our feature presentation tonight. As most of you should know by now, she's done a really stunning film called The 9/11 Museum Virtual Walk and Tour. She scripted it and did some of the narration in it. And she's going to give us a brief history of it and an update and so forth. And then she's open to whoever's speaking there. If you have a background conversation going on, please press *6. If you press *6, it'll mute your phone, and others won't hear the background. And then you press *6, it'll bring you right back into the conversation when you need to, okay? *6 to mute, okay? So here's Barbara Honegger, and she's open to constructive feedback on this film. So those of you that have watched it critically and have any feedback for her, this is a great time to help them move forward with that. So Barbara, it's all yours.
Okay, and thanks, Ken. How much total time do we have for this agenda item, including my summary and the feedback?
Well, 20 minutes if you can keep it to that, but 25 if you can't, okay?
Okay, so whoever's the timekeeper, you can start now. I've got 5:25 p.m., 8:25 p.m., your time.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to start out. Thanks for everybody on the call. It's really great to have 15 or so people on the call today. I'm going to start out with a really brief thumbnail sketch of what the tour is, just in case not everybody has seen it. And then I'm going to give you just a summary of the feedback so far, and then let you know a couple of questions, burning questions that I have for everyone who had seen the tour or will see it in the next few days and get back to me. And then we'll open it up for any feedback you can give me on the phone. I would like to say that I'm looking for constructive, specific feedback, not generalities. I mean, generalities is fine. If you just love it the way it is, you can say that. But if you have editorial suggestions, my request would be to email me, and I'll give my email address a couple of times here, to email me with your specific suggestions with the time code. So if you think that the language should be changed in the narration, I need the time code that you can see easily on the YouTube between this and this, or it starts here, and give me the specific language change you think it should be and why. Okay. So first off, what is the 9/11 Museum Virtual Walk Tour? Well, as everybody I think knows probably, on May 21st or thereabouts, Les can correct me, the official 9/11 Museum opened at Ground Zero. The thing cost $700 million. Isn't that correct, Les? Is Les still on? Maybe not. Anyway, $700 million, almost $1 billion.
Sorry, I muted myself. Yes, you're correct.
Yeah. Oh, okay, you were muted, yeah. So almost $1 billion, half of it or so taxpayer supported. So it's our museum, and we have a right to have the truth in that museum. So when that was officially inaugurated with President Obama and, God help us, George W. Bush and the Clintons, in a big ceremony on around May 21st, I followed all of the press coverage, and there was a lot of interactive videos and interactive photographs of exhibit items, especially in Wired magazine and the New York Post and places like that, but also in the New York Times, Washington Post. So I got the a vision. It's the bottom line. To go to the museum, walk through it. In late July, I spent literally 12 and a half hours in the museum. I was the last one there. They had to literally throw me out diplomatically. And took photographs. Les took photographs. Richard Gage took photographs. Other people in New York City went in. Friends of mine from California. I have thousands of photographs of exhibit items from inside the museum. And I took very careful notes. And the bottom line is, there are exhibit items inside the 9/11 Museum at Ground Zero, which the people who perpetrated these attacks, this is their attempt to literally cast in stone the official lie of 9/11 and who did it. And they have made a huge mistake because there are many, many, many exhibit items in the museum itself, the physical exhibit items and photographs and captions and text on the wall and timeline entries that are provably false and can actually be used to prove the official story a lie. So what I did was I pulled all this information together with the help of Frank Tolopko and Les Jamison and Bonnie Faulkner and Bob McElvain and a whole wonderful team of people, and scripted the 9/11 Museum Virtual Walking Tour, which on the just past anniversary was announced. It went up on YouTube on this just past anniversary, and Richard Gage announced it at Ground Zero at his A&E press event there, and also screened the opening of it with Bob McElvain and Bonnie Faulkner at the Architects and Engineers Symposium 2 days later on September 13th. So we are using, it's a kind of jujitsu, geopolitical jujitsu. The walking tour uses the exhibit items in the official lie museum to throw it back onto the people who have put this museum together, proving that they have actually cast in stone exhibit items that prove that they're lying. So we've had great feedback so far. Everybody should know that if you just Google 9/11 Museum Virtual Walking Tour, it will come up. It's just under 2 hours. And it is the really great thing about it is you can see it anywhere in the world. And it was designed and tested and passed the test. You can actually watch it and listen to it on a smartphone with earbuds inside the 9/11 Museum itself in the belly of the beast, which is really an incredible achievement. So, but the one that's up now is a draft. I call it a draft YouTube, and I've put out the call, at a special dinner that Les Jamison put on in New York City, and there were at least 40 people there, reconstituting the New York City 9/11 Truth Group. It was really a great occasion. So for the first month after the after 9/11, or the first month and a half or so, I put out the call for constructive feedback. Specific feedback from members of the 9/11 Truth Movement, activists, researchers, publicists, anyone who's serious about improving it and making it even better and stronger. So that's the reason for this agenda item. And please, any specific feedback you have to change the actual text, either deletions or additions or edits to the existing narration text, please email that to me. So I'm just going to open it up to comments from people, but first I want to give you just a thumbnail sketch of feedback so far from David Ray Griffin, Elizabeth Woodward, Dr. Tim Eastman, who is David Ray Griffin's physics consultant and advisor, Graham McLean, Kevin Barrett. They've all sent congratulations. Richard Gage, as I mentioned, announced it at Ground Zero and screened the opening in New York City at Theater 80 on September 13th, and has called it extraordinary and a fantastic idea. Humuk, who of course is the 9/11 TV videographer, he emailed me, brilliant concept and incredibly brilliant execution. And I could go on, but I mean, these are general comments, but what I'm looking for are specific editorial feedback. So I guess I'll, unless anybody has any, you know, burning question right now, I'd open it up to feedback. And I think there's so many people on the call who might want to say something. Maybe we could keep it to a minute each or something?
Yeah, that's a great suggestion, because there's very little time for anybody to talk at length about this. So let's try to keep comments to a maximum of 1 minute. Does anybody have a comment or a question for Barbara regarding the film? Would anybody like to be put on the stack to make a comment here? Or,
you should know the film. I haven't seen it yet, so I need to know about it. What's the title again?
Who's that talking? Sorry.
My name is Nicholas Guillermo. I'm sorry, I have not seen the film.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. The title on YouTube is 9/11, in other words, 9/11 with a slash, Museum Virtual Walking Tour. There's only one. There's, and it's a draft YouTube. Now, I will say that I'm closing comments. The deadline is the last day of this month.
Okay.
So you've got 2 days. Yeah. Well, actually, you can have through the weekend. But I've got to close it off because it's already been open for a month and a half.
Dwayne here.
Yeah.
Okay, Dwayne, and then who else would like to be on? Is this Dwayne or Wayne?
Wayne.
Okay. Wayne, who else besides Wayne would like to say something? I'll put you on the stack.
Nita Renfro.
I'm sorry?
Okay. Nita Renfro.
Renfro, okay. And then who else?
Tim Michael.
Tim Michael, who else?
Mike.
Okay, then go. Okay, Mike. So go ahead, Wayne.
Yes, I have. First of all, there's a background noise.
Hold on 1 second. There's a fire engine. Hold on, I won't be able to hear you for a sec. I'll let you know when I can hear you again. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So I've got basically two areas that I found troubling. The minor one is the discussion of the bodies at the there's an image with where there was bodies outside the E-ring of in the Pentagon.
Not an image. It's a graphic from the Pentagon Building Performance Report.
Right, in which there were circles saying that it was unclear just how that really related. I did see after watching it a second time that there was an issue that in fact that's you were pointing out that this is where they said the bodies were, but there weren't any when it was first taken. So I mean that was one issue, and the
what's wrong with it?
It didn't quite flow very well why you were showing it, and so it needed to be tied together.
In other words, you wouldn't delete it. You just want it clarified.
It just needs to be clarified as it, and possibly the best thing to do is to have some arrows showing. And I guess I've got to think through this one because this is one that's been bothering me. I've had some trouble.
You got a minute total. So why don't you go to the next one? You've already emailed me, Wayne, so I know you're concerned.
Right, and my other issue is I'm really concerned about the section that talks about the nuclear possibilities, because the element pairings I think is a science that is not well recognized, and as this is supposed to be a introductory video for the general public, I think to bring that particular issue up is really very problematic for the entire video, because when people try to find other related concepts associated with element pairings to suggest nuclear fission or any nuclear event, they're not going to find anything except what is possibly in
right.
Veterans.
Okay. I think that's over a minute, and Wayne, you know that I've already said I will take it out.
I just wanted to make sure that this was discussed on this call, because you were, because there are potentially advocates for it, and you might want to hear their side too.
I know that Kim Freeland called me and said that he was surprised it was in there, and actually gave me a suggestion to make it stronger. But let me just go on record here that the whole purpose of asking for feedback from the entire movement for a couple of months after the just past anniversary is to try to have as many people as possible in the movement enthusiastic about it. So, don't be shy. Wayne's already told me this, And I think that because the 9/11 Truth Outreach site and enterprise is so important, that it's more important to have Wayne and Tim and Frank and all those people who are 9/11 Truth Outreach enthusiastic. It's a small thing to remove it. So I am almost certainly going to remove it. My partners are Bonnie Faulkner and Mark Snyder, the videographer. We'll decide together, but I'm going to advocate to remove it. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. This is Ken. I need to clarify that when Barbara said I tried to make it stronger, I think that meant stronger in the sense of clearer, not necessarily more forcefully argued, okay? I just wanted to make that clear because there were some problems in the way it had been presented, I thought, and that was what I had presented to Barbara. Okay.
Right.
So,
Ken's comment to me was that if it stays in, that it was important to mention that the USGS did not test for the radioactive isotopes of the elements, and therefore it didn't rule in a nuclear event pairing, but it didn't rule it out either. That was your comment, I believe. Yeah.
Right. Thank you, Barbara. Okay, so next, was that Anita? Is it Anita Renfrew?
Anita Renfrew.
Okay.
Anita Renfrew of New York.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you're next.
Hello, everybody. I have a comment. I think the video is excellent. I saw it immediately when you put it together, Barbara. And I know that there wasn't room to put everything in it, and I'm thinking that maybe there could be something that people could look at on the internet in a written page that would have a list of all of the things that didn't fit into the video.
I don't know what you mean by all of the things. What you mean?
Well, such as this nuclear thing. It could be on. There could be a page there where they have.
No. The people who think the nuclear thing should come out for purely publicity reasons, really, and for getting as many people as possible in the movement enthusiastic, they would not want that.
But there are things that didn't fit into the video, right? Or did you get every single thing? That's what I mean. To have a list of those things.
Yeah, but remember, okay, I'm gonna rebut that, and the reason is we are constrained by the exhibits. This is a tour that uses the exhibits themselves.
That's what I'm talking about, the exhibits themselves.
So if anybody, when you look at the tour, if you've been through the museum and you see an exhibit item that is not in the tour that you believe can be used to prove the official story false, please let me know immediately because I would add it.
Okay. I thought maybe that everything hadn't fit in. No.
No, we could have had a 3 or 5 hour. I mean, the videographer did say that it's important to have a little bit under 2 hours so it could be divided into two parts for public access TV, cable TV, et cetera. So there are kind of AV constraints like that for marketing it. I think the whole thing is going to have to be a little bit under 2 hours. So there really isn't any room. I should say there isn't any room to add anything if anybody says X should be added, I'm going to have to take something else out.
Well, I think it's excellent, so I'm very enthusiastic about it.
Thank you. Jim, I think you're next.
Yeah, well, Wayne already covered the issue that I was interested in covering, and I guess I'll just say I think it's an excellent walking tour. I would wish we'd be able to have it connected to a GPS system so that the segments of the video would automatically play as they walk.
Oh, God, that would be wonderful. Do you know how to do that, Tim?
No, I haven't done it. I can use GPS to locate people on a push pin on a map. But I don't know how to do that as people walk through a tour. I'm sure there's a way to do it, but I've never done it.
Now, by the way, may I ask, is there, I'd like to know, do you think we could take a poll quickly? I'd like to know who's watched it so far. Or who hasn't watched it? Maybe it's simpler. I know that Neil has watched it.
I've seen much of it, Dave Schlesinger, not all of it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah,
I think it's wonderful, and I have some fine point comments to make.
What did you say, Dave? I couldn't hear.
I think it's wonderful, and I have a few fine point suggestions.
Okay.
Do
you want to email them to me?
Of course. I agreed to do that already.
I have one burning question myself, and I'd like to kind of poll anybody.
Barbara, before you do that, there's one other person on the staff that would like to make a comment.
Right, okay. Or, all right.
Yeah, Mike, I think you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I just...
Mike, I'm sorry, who's Mike? I don't know Mike.
Mike Booth in Lafayette, Indiana.
Mike who? I couldn't hear you.
Booth, Lafayette, Indiana.
Oh, Mike Booth. Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Barbara, I just... I've watched it one time, and just want to congratulate you on a job well done. My only concern is that there's a lot of probably unintentional emotion put into it when you're doing the narrating. It comes across, I think, personally, more professional when the other narrator is doing the narration. And so that's my
she's
only
a professional radio person. I understand that. I should let everybody know that it was an incredible ordeal to produce it at all. And Bonnie Faulkner was supposed to be the sole narrator. However, when we got into the Pacifica radio station in Berkeley, KPFA, she just, because she didn't know the script as well as I did, she would stumble and stumble and stumble, and we thought we were going to be able to do the whole thing in one day. In the recording studio, we went into an entire second day, and it became clear that we were not even going to get through it in time to make the 9/11 anniversary if she was the sole narrator. Now, she can become the sole narrator if she's willing, but I don't know if she will. She's had an accident and seriously hurt her hand and arm.
Oh.
So, Bonnie, I just sent her $100. If anybody would like to help her get to a doctor, she doesn't have any money. I sent her $100 to go to a healer. She wanted a healer instead of a general, you know, traditional doctor. If anyone would like to help Bonnie, you can email me. By the way, my email address is B as in boy, S as in Sam, H as in Harry, O as in only, N as in Nancy, EGG at gmail.com. So it's BSHONEGG at gmail.com. And we can, so anybody who has specific suggestions, by the end of the weekend, please email me. And if you want to try to help Bonnie, even $5 would help her. You can email me and I'll give you her mailing address. Okay? So anyway, the bottom line is that was our goal, but it was not technically possible with the time deadline.
I'd just like to comment that it's been just over 20 minutes. I haven't heard anybody chime in this is a very important issue. I don't mean to cut you off, but you are cutting it on time now.
Thank you for doing your job, Nicholas. We appreciate that.
Your email, so you should definitely follow up on that.
Barbara, go ahead.
It's Barb. I just want to put out a question for everybody. I know we have to cut this agenda item off, but let me just get out the question. A burning question for me, for anybody who wants to email me, and let me know your vote on it. In the tour, you have to get inside the museum to the very first panel that gives the text on the wall of the official story before the tour asks the person to step aside, to step back from the panel before they actually go into any of the exhibits at all. And there is about a 10-minute summary proving the official story is a lie, line by line with what's on the wall. Now, there was a suggestion made to me that a better place for that might be while people are 20 minutes standing in line outside, because you have to stand in line for a long time. I actually prefer doing it inside, but that's my question. Do you think it should be moved, that section, should it be moved to where people are standing in line outside? Okay, that's it. Thanks, everybody.
Did everybody understand the question? Any questions about the question? Okay. Barbara, thank you so much, both for your work on the film and for giving us the opportunity tonight to give you some feedback. And we hope that you'll keep us up on the reception and the growth of the popularity and anything else that any of us might be able to do to help the project.
Okay, and just remind everybody, by the end of the weekend, to get it to me by email. The email is bshonegg@gmail.com. Thanks. Thanks so much.
Thank you again, Barbara. Okay. Keeping as brief as you did, I know it was tough because you've got so much going on there. Our next item on the agenda will be the ActivismTruth.org. I'm sorry, ActivismTruth.com, the 9/11 State Ballot Initiatives Project. Nicholas, that's yours. I'll go ahead and keep time for you. You got 10 to 15 minutes total, or 15 to 20 minutes total to play with, so I'll try to keep it to 15 if we can. And
Sure. Sure. And you are Ken, right? I'm not sure.
Yeah, this is Ken speaking,
okay.
Yes.
Great. Thank you, Ken. Thanks for inviting me, and thank you to all those of you who have been a part of this conference for so long. So, the reason why we're a .com and not a .org is because we have a pretty revolutionary system built in to not only help groups and causes organized for ballot initiatives, but also the intention is to direct money to a super PAC and to actually fund signature drives directly, signature drives and other work associated with helping political action committees. And nonprofits are not allowed to do that, so that's why it's a .com. Furthermore, I'll get into the details. We have a complete shopping cart system worth thousands and thousands of dollars that we plan to utilize when we find the right merchants, people that sell things that would be of interest of people in the 9/11 truth community and other issues we promote on the site, so that we can fundraise for the ballot initiatives we promote. So a little background on me first, as well as some background on my organization. I'll also dive into a quick synopsis of what we need to do and then open the discussion immediately after. I'm Nicholas Guillermo. I have 10 years working for activism causes directly, which taught me how to get involved and to get things done. I have a vision, and I want to share it all with you tonight, that we can be in business together with the purpose of fundraising and organizing to promote and qualify initiatives for the ballot. This business model I want you to be a part of is one that will ensure income is generated and pay for tasks we all want to see done. This is one where all of you can become members of a cooperatively operated administration, which will hire thousands of people for full-time and part-time data researching, blogging, community organizing, business networking, social networking, and more. And I have a vision to make 9/11 Truth a self-sustaining project for ballot access all over the nation. And this is important. It's a very important issue to all of us. And there are a lot of other really important issues that are important to us that can all benefit together with this single Activism Truth platform. It's really a clearinghouse for citizens' ballot initiatives. And I apologize for not participating in any calls up to date. It was back when 911CC first got started. I was in on some of them just as a listener. But then, back then I was helping with like Facebook promotions and just getting the word out there, trying to organize. But there wasn't really a structure set up. There wasn't a formula put together that I could follow that would make me most effective. So I, in this time since, have figured out what the formula is. And it does reflect back on my 10 years of experience in working for ballot initiatives. And also for 3 years, I trained people in door-to-door fundraising. I've also done some business marketing. And I just kind of put a whole plethora of ideas together to create this website, which is estimated to be worth seriously about like $50,000 or so because of all the technology that's in it. Now, it hasn't launched yet. We have a lot of content creation that needs to be built, but the system set up that will create a machine to fund initiatives in Massachusetts and other states. So it's really about what we put into the projects. It's what we will get out of it. And every action taken will be logged and accounted for to ensure equally shared mutual investment by all members. I don't have all of the articles of incorporation created yet for my political action committee or really Activism Truth, which is, hasn't even been filed as a fictitious business name in the state of Arizona yet. I do have the LLC filed. I've run signature drives and hired people and paid for petition drives under that campaign title. And I have a PAC filed, which I plan to create as the first super PAC in the U.S. for citizens' ballot initiatives.
this will be the first one. No one's done that. And I was wondering years ago why there wasn't a group out there that I could be a part of that would, you know, help organize other people to work on initiatives in my state, because when I first got involved in activism, I was involved in lobbying. And, you know, I didn't know about ballot initiatives. I would say easily 80% of the population doesn't. Lots of the independent voters out there that could be involved, you know, really don't know, and lots of people that aren't voters because they don't trust voting for politicians don't know about ballot initiatives. And those are the people we could bring into the organization too, because when they learn that they can vote and make a direct law change, that will inspire just really a whole new generation of activists. So we'll take questions after. So please write down anything if you have any really important questions to ask. You all remember 911 CC. I'm sure you can all think of maybe one or two things that went wrong. Well, I want to make sure that doesn't happen again. And I want to make sure that money is spent in the right place at the right time for the right people. And I want us all to put our entrepreneurial minds together and generate some income for real truth and justice. I want to let everyone just know that we can get ready to devote our lives to the right formula, one that will ensure long-term success in all the activism causes we care about. So I'm talking to you about what activism truth is, and we're dedicated to transparency in government, sovereignty, liberty, and truth. And you and I and others together working every week to meet campaign goals, to get things done, when we set goals and we stick to them and work as a team, we will be able to stop all corruption in government. I have quite a few blogs written on this. There's lots of evidence that ballot initiatives work, and some people say, oh, well, they only let some initiatives work when it's not seriously threatening their agenda, but that is not true. There's been lots of initiatives that totally cut the head off the snake of globalist, corporate greed, political greed. There's lots of proof of ballot initiatives. And if you all aren't familiar, there's a website with tons of information on this whole kind of hidden political solution, and it's called ballotpedia.org. It's like just a huge reference of everything going on in every state. So you all should look into it.
Could you repeat that? Couldn't hear.
Sure. It's called ballotpedia.org.
Ballot what? What was the second word? Media.
Pedia. P-E-D-I.
Oh, ballotpedia.
Yeah. They have a Judgepedia, too. They track everything that's going on around the country. They have a really good team. And it's really where I get a lot of content. Mm-hmm.
Is that Ballotpedia with two T's or one T?
Ballot, B-A-L-L-O-T. One T. Yeah, the election ballot.
P-E-D-I-A?
Yeah. P-E-D-I-A? Yeah. I'm sure you all, a lot of people don't know about this process. There's a lot of talk what's going on, like California is the biggest state in the country for the ballot initiatives, but really just for press, because what happens in that state is you get a lot of millionaires and private interests investing in ballot initiatives for their own agendas. Well, people aren't really using it. And so often the media criticizes the process because they find that it can be broken, just like politics can be broken when lobbyists come in with all their spending. But it's not the process that's to blame. It's really just that we aren't involved, that there hasn't been an organization to organize people for initiatives in the past. That's what we're working on creating. And with this working, the initiative process can basically make anything possible that you can think of. Because we, the people, will pass the laws by popular vote, very important constitutional laws that need to happen instead of waiting for politicians. And that's why this is so important, because there's gridlock, and half the politicians on both sides, or more than half, really just aren't putting the most important initiatives forward. So as you know, in Massachusetts, we filed the 9/11 CC initiative. I talked to Susan Serpa. We want to get it rewritten. She's got some resources. She's got some people to talk with about that. We'd like to get it refiled. And what I want to do is help see that actions taken for that initiative also can be multiplied to help other states and other people in other states file those initiatives as well. So all the information is included with Ballotpedia and activismtruth.com, what I'm working on. I have not created a page for the 9/11 movement yet. Well, it's been created, but it's not published because I'm just starting with 9 basic initiatives, and I know my time is running low, but that's what's important. So when you go there, you'll find a blog. If you go in the search, you type in 9/11, you'll find my most recent blog. I actually had another one I plan on doing. But 9 months ago, my wife and I, we had a birth to our first son. It put a lot of stuff on hold, okay? So I'm still transitioning right now. You know, I'm a father, and I'm trying to do activism as full-time as possible in my spare time, and it's tough. But the mechanism is in place. And if I can get some of you people listening to play a role with me on building it up, we can create something really tremendous here. So
where do you live?
Where do I live?
Yeah.
Tucson, Arizona. Okay. So there's 9... Excuse me, 8 key projects I want you all to take a mental note on. This is sounds like something you can do, and you can get back to me after. I'm going to just list them, and then I'll go briefly into detail of them, and then we can have any questions or move on what we need to do. So,
we're running short on time here. We've only got 5 minutes total left for this issue.
I'll get it done. I'll get it done quick. So the 8 things I want you all to think about helping with, if any of these stand out to you, let me know. 1 is social media networking. We're going to need people on the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Pinterest and all these sites helping out with that. If you know about social media, great. That's something everyone can do that has a computer. The 2nd one is data research. I'm sure it's something that most of you are already doing. You're looking into facts. You've been studying 9/11. I need data research and data archivers, people that will archive the data in specific areas to later be organized and structured in a way so it can all be found relatively easy by members surfing the forums on Activism Truth on the website. The other thing is we'll need some campaign graphic design. If anybody does graphic design, we really use your help. We're going to need writing, content, and blogging. This is probably one of the most important aspects. I can train people in blogging to a limited extent. My web developer is a master blogger. He even worked for Google, and he's teaching me everything I know. We need people to use information supplied by the data researchers to then write creative new blogs that can be published on our platform and promoted through all the social media by our social media networkers. We're also going to want people that will read the blogs on video who are not going to be camera shy, or who get over their camera shyness and help put a face and real faces behind this movement, because videos are more viral than writing. And we can't let perfection be the enemy of good. Even myself, I don't do enough videos, and I think if we all did a little more videos to talk about these issues, we'd be doing a huge justice for this, because it's just a fact that videos outperform blogs online. But when we combine blogs and videos, then we really have it, and people can see the blog, they can see the links, they can see the facts for themselves, and that really works. The video people will also have a system where they can get MP3s recorded, and people can download those to listen in their car and in their iPods and whatnot. The last 3 things we're going to need is business networking and marketing people to help build the basically fundraising wing of Activism Truth through the short sales that we can do on the site. We will need people to do door-to-door canvassing, which is something that I will train people to do. I've done this for 3 years. I train people literally knocking on doors, finding neighbors to get involved in community groups, and it's how we get things done. And the last one is we'll need organizers, canvas organizers, who will go out and recruit the independently contracted door-to-door fundraisers, creating jobs for people in their communities. People can earn actually decent money doing door-to-door fundraising, and the people that donate know it's paying for their salary to basically just organize and to have a little administrative funding for other things the administration needs to do. So my email is activismtruth@gmail.com. You can also contact me on the site. And I pretty much told you the gist of everything you need to know. So, if there's any questions, let me know. The remaining time I have left, I'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, Nicholas, this is Tim Freeland. Nobody can argue that your project is not ambitious or exciting, okay? It's both, and I wish you the best with it. But I do think you should summarize for people how many states allow for state ballot initiatives and how many don't, so people are aware of that too, okay?
Okay, great. Yes, there's essentially 24 states that allow for statewide constitutional amendments, but the reality is almost every state in the country has some form of citizen ballot proposal process. Sometimes people can put referendums on the ballot. Six states have the right to citizen grand jury, and their signature requirement is very low, such as in New Mexico, it's 0.5% of the people who voted in the last governor's election. I think it's less than is needed in Massachusetts. Kansas has that. Oklahoma City has that. The state of Oklahoma, they attempted to do a citizen grand jury on the Oklahoma City bombing. Something went wrong with that. It didn't quite work out. But the reality is that process is available. And then, you know, the idea of just getting candidates on the ballot who are independent, who are not going to, support the I call it paradigm politics, Republican, Democrat meme, who will press for truth in their campaign so that, like, if they get in the ballot guide, they just simply write about 9/11, they write about other things that are of serious importance to them.
Thank you. You've answered my question. I wanted to open up for anybody else who has a burning question because we're out of time on this one, too. Does anybody have anything that absolutely needs to be asked at this point, or can we ask Nick to come back next week, next month, and expand a little bit more and take a little bit more time?
Can I ask just one quick question, Barb?
Go ahead, Barbara.
Yeah. Could you name the other states, please, that have citizens' grand juries? You named Kansas, Oklahoma City, Massachusetts, New Mexico. What are the other two?
We have North Dakota. Massachusetts doesn't technically have a citizen grand jury. It was just that Massachusetts was where we filed the 9/11 citizen grand jury initiative.
Yes, right.
So the six states, though, they're Kansas, Nebraska, Nevada, New Mexico, North Dakota,
and Vermont.
Oklahoma.
There's also
Oklahoma.
Vermont.
Maybe
also
they have
Vermont.
It on the local level I wasn't aware of, but these are statewide citizen grand jury rights. I'm not sure about
that. Statewide. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
And it's done through a signature drive, very low signature requirement, and then they basically get a panel of citizens that take the place of the judge. And
yeah,
the state pays for it.
Yeah, citizens' grand juries are extremely important because there is a near unanimous Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court decision that grand juries are the fourth people's branch of government, co-equal with the presidency, the Congress, and the courts.
Yeah.
Thank you, Barbara. We're out of time on this issue. Nicholas, thanks so much for bringing this to our attention. Can you come back next month and expand on it a little bit and give people more time for discussion?
One last thing, anyone who wants to get the ball rolling with me right away, I can work with you on a weekly basis. We can set goals. You got to go to activismtruth.com, become a member. I'm the master admin, so I'll know right when you join. It costs $1, and that is a paywall to keep spammers and trolls out. So we have no junk in the system, and we're going to keep it that way. It's just a simple paywall. So you get in, and then we'll have access to private groups, and everything's encrypted, which is nice for your privacy, our privacy as well.
So, okay, Nicole, thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. All right, our next item on the agenda is Ron Avery. Ron has a plan, and he's going to share with us, for a global 9/11 truth convention to be held somewhere deep in the heart of Texas. Ron, what's going on?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you were breaking up a little bit. Thank you. Thank you for having me. First of all, let me say I've been kind of holding back remarks that I've been impressed with the virtual walking tour and state ballot initiatives project, and those kind of also tie into at least what I'm going to be presenting here tonight. First, a couple of things happened this summer that's got me fired up, and some of the people here in Austin, Texas. Number one, just for me, I went to a convention out at Joshua Tree, California, and it was for one of these alien, everybody goes and looks for aliens. I'm not in that movement, but I went to the convention, and live stream things, and I wanted to live stream some of that, and I did. What I noticed was that these people, they were unified in what they were in their yearning to get together, because you know, they felt isolated and far apart, and so they had this desire to come together, and they came together from all over the world and all over the United States, and suffered some pretty severe conditions out there, as the power went off for a whole day almost on a Saturday, and people were sitting in 112 degrees temperatures and crowded rooms sweating. But they were listening to things they wanted to hear, and they were with people of like minds. And they paid at least $200 a person to go, and there were 2,000 of them there. And the facility really was not built to handle that many people. But anyway, we all persevered. And then when I get home, I get around to joining a group called I Am the Face of Truth. .com, and it's, they have a Facebook page that you get on, and you can have your logo, identity logo on Facebook altered, and they put 9/11 Truth USA on it, or wherever you're from, you know, whatever country you're from or whatever. And I'm telling you, that's a very active Facebook page, and the thousands of people are on this thing, and I get more email from that than any other thing that I'm involved in. And I notice that three or four things from all this is that there is a powerful thirst among the 9/11 Truth people throughout the world to unify and to be with people of like minds. And number two is that there seems to be a real thirst for direction in general of this group, because I think number three we're leading up to is that they all sense an urgency of things that might be coming in the near future that might eclipse 9/11, and they're just worried that their movement might die out, their ability to move truth.
Hello?
Hello?
We just lost the speaker.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, who's there?
Barb's still here.
Did we lose some people?
Barton's still here.
James.
Well, we lost the speaker right in the middle of a sentence.
Yep.
Well, this is Ron Avery. Is that, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Well, I'm the speaker.
Okay.
I thought
I
was.
Yeah, no, but we couldn't hear you for a while.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did you hear about the thirst of these people to get together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
did you hear about?
Couple of seconds. Yeah. It was just the last couple of seconds, Ron.
I think we lost you for about a minute, Ron, so just pick up where you were, okay? And try to get to the point quickly, because your time is limited, okay?
Okay. Here's what I want to do. I've already met with some people in Austin, and I've told the idea to a few people, and I've even presented it on this Facebook page. It came back very positive. What I've learned is that we could probably put together here in Austin, Texas, that already has a very well-developed alternative media group that involves radio, FM radio stations, and internet stuff too, that can live stream and archive events with significant equipment. And so I thought of, why don't we have a global 9/11 Truth Convention, where we can ask all these people to come together to provide seminars, workshops, and this thing could go on for 2 or 3 days. You could meet your favorite heroes and truth activists, have luncheons and dinners, seminars, workshops, We could have music by the actors, artists, athletes for 9/11 Truth. We would have some of the names that come to mind, of course, you can think of them. You already know them, so I'm not going to list them, but I think of at least 10 to 15 names of people that really stand out in the movement. We can have tables and booths for all the groups to sell their videos and their literature, their books. We can have all the groups there that have .com or .org organizations, of course, Pilots for 9/11. I have a whole list of these, about 18 or 20, some that I didn't even know about. I didn't know there was a group called Magicians for 9/11 Truth, but they have it. So, and you probably don't know this. They have one called Media for 9/11 Truth. I'd like to know who's on that. But anyway, there's bunches of these groups, and, of course, that's not even including various states for 9/11 Truth and cities for 9/11 Truth. So what I'm thinking of is that if we had, if we got a facility, we could, I know out at Joshua Tree, they were charging $200 per person, and they had 2,000 attendants. And so they had, and I'm saying, let's say at $170 a person, if you got it a couple, it was $340 a ticket for couples. And so the $170 per person that way times 2,000, they made a minimum of $340,000. And if we had one, say, that could attract 5,000 people from all over the United States and the world at $170, that's $850,000. I'm thinking we could even pay our speakers, and that's what they did out at Joshua Tree, is they paid their main speakers to print out their material. So,
would you mind clarifying if you're talking about a physical conference or just a virtual one?
I'm talking about a material live where everybody comes together in the city of Austin, Texas.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so anyway, the group I met with worked with me on putting together a six-hour news conference in 2010 to announce Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth signatures of their petition to announce over 1,000 of those people signed that petition. That was in 2010. And we had a pretty large group that showed up for it. We rented a very large meeting room at the DoubleTree Hotel in Austin on 35, the main drag. And we had six or seven speakers or eight speakers. It lasted about 6 hours, and the whole thing was videoed and live streamed and archived, which you can still see. So anyway, we had some big names that showed up for that as well. So, and of course, there were probably about 30 to 40 people that helped me put that together. And what I find so amazing about last time was that I started this on my own when I first started, and I had a handful of friends that I tried to put together. And gradually, the more people that heard about it liked it, and they brought in more and more people. And I had personally rented a small little meeting room at the DoubleTree Hotel so I could tell the news media to come over, and I was going to present a little thing, and I was going to have my model there. Well, by the time we were done, we had a huge room. We had about 300 attendants. We had I was going to live stream the thing myself. We ended up having a company live stream it. So I didn't have to mess with all that. And they just kind of took charge, and they broadcast the thing live on 90.1 FM on the radio that day. And
okay, Brian, I just want to let you know that there's only 5 minutes total left here, so if you want to leave time for questions or for people to respond
sure,
to this.
I'm done. That's basically
okay.
It.
Okay. Would anybody like to make a comment or ask a question to Ron about this?
I do, but I don't have to be first. It's Barb.
Huh? Well, okay, anybody decide to buy one of the SX?
Oh, this is Wayne. Sure. Wayne Costa.
Okay. Who? Who?
Wayne Costa.
Oh, Wayne, okay, sure. Okay, so Barb and then Wayne. Go ahead, Barb.
Okay, Ron, what's your email address, number one? And number two question is, if you can let Craig or Ken know the link so we can watch the archives for the 210 event, please. So what's your email address?
Sure, I'll send it to him.
So what's your email?
Now, my email address is taphouse, like
what?
Tap
I'm
beer.
Sorry, what? I'm sorry, what?
T, like in Tom.
Oh, T.
A. I tell you, why don't I just send this address to you and we can get it out to everybody because this is difficult.
Okay, good. It'll be in the minutes.
Put it in the minutes. No problem. Uh-huh.
There you go.
Okay.
Barbara, I gave you that address already.
Well, I don't have it right now. So.
Okay.
Thanks, Ron, for getting it to Ken and or Craig.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, to Craig would be best. Okay, thank you. And then let's see, Wayne, you're next.
Yeah, so my request was for an email address, which I guess is going to be handled. The other thing is, I guess more or less a comment that I very much enjoyed a conference that was held in D.C. in September 2013, last year, that brought many people together for a very highly educational weekend. I myself think that a weekend of training activists would be a really great thing to do, a weekend or possibly longer where it would be focused not just on the educational components, but also on how to organize, how to get trained on doing outreach. So I would be very interested in that and look forward to getting your email. I can be reached through a contact on the 911truthoutreach.org website. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you much.
This is Barton. Can I just toss in a little comment? If I remember correctly, on that D.C. conference, there was some scrambling near the end because it hadn't been booked totally, and they needed to book to get everything paid for. If I remember correctly, there was some panic that it wasn't all going to get. And then the room was filled. I was one of the two videographers, so I
no,
was
there,
there
the was whole no. Time. I was on the organizing committee. There was no problem.
No problem. Okay. Then I'm mistaken in my memory.
Yeah, not that conference. Maybe a different one.
Okay. Any other quick comments before we move on? Thank you so much, Ron, for giving us that update on your plan, and I hope you'll continue to keep us updated. We can put that as a regular item on the agenda for updating. If you'd like to just join us at any month and let us know how things are going, we'd like to keep apprised of it. Okay.
All right. I think that's great. Yeah.
Okay. Super. Thank you again. All right, our last item on the agenda is the Crash Test Project. Pablo started us off last week, introduced himself as a new representative for that. He is here back with us to give us more details. Go ahead, Bopple.
Hi, everybody. By the way, my name is spelled, last name is spelled C, S-C-H-A-N-E-S.
Oh, thank you for that correction, yep.
Okay,
there's a... three groups of things I'm going to try to talk about real quickly. The first is that we have in mind a three-phase testing program with three smaller components within each one. Last or ninth one would be the rocket sled, where we take some component either of a wing or a tail section that you can buy at a junkyard of an actual 9/11 official plane, that model, and what we'll attach it to sled and zoom it at 500 plus miles an hour into a reconstructed three-column panel of the World Trade Center facade. That would be that's the main thing we're aiming for. We have this idea that we might run a series of tests building toward that to get more publicity and involve the whole world in talking about the question of can aluminum penetrate steel? So there's those aspects. The first phase of the three would be low-tech kind of stuff, spikes and wedges being jammed into, aluminum spikes and wedges being jammed into steel and vice versa. A rotary saw made out of an aluminum blade trying to cut steel and vice versa. Maybe a grinder. Those types of, we haven't nailed these down, but these, this is what we're thinking about as examples. Then the second phase would be medium tech, medium speed, medium complexity, medium cost, where we have flying objects but not super fast, like spikes and wedges, or maybe aluminum bullets against steel and steel bullets against aluminum, and maybe aluminum against other metals. So people just get a sense of how strong or weak aluminum is. Then the main phase would be have three components. One would be to produce a documentary that might cover the earlier tests that we ran and would certainly include the best from all other historical tests and documentaries. There's been government programs which show an airplane trying to fly through wooden telephone poles, and where the telephone poles, which are a lot less strong than the steel, do major damage to the wings. So we'd have a documentary to some of the information we could collect so people can examine it. Then we have a high-speed test short of the rocket sled that we haven't determined what that would be, and then the last one would be the rocket sled. We've been looking into a little, so in terms of the technical aspects, we now have a team together of people who are working on building toward a finite element analysis, and we haven't quite yet determined which component of the plane would be the best to use, whether it be a wing component or a tail. We haven't decided that yet. We have more and more technicians coming in, so we're building up a team to be able to get the science of the thing down pat. The second phase is that we're going to try to do everything 100% professionally, totally scientific, thoroughly documented, and completely transparent, so that everything will be up, everybody will be able to review everything, and anybody who's honest can convince themselves of what the facts are. And then the third general aspect of what we're going to try to do is that this project would be a means to an end, the wars, U.S. and worldwide wars, by provoking a mass public debate all over the world. And maybe three components of that might be a world petition, so that the people write their names on a list saying we don't want any more wars. A world science initiative, students and other people with prizes, to get lots of people involved in aluminum versus steel type of testing. And then the last one would be a world vote, possibly on September 11th, 2016, the 15th, I call it misery anniversary of 9/11. And then the other thing is, so that's about the project itself. That our view of myself is that I'm just the caretaker. I've got no ego involved in this. My job is to keep the thing on target, and my authority derives from the 9/11 Truth Movement and from the people generally. We're thinking along the lines of trying to have not an advisory board, but a board of advisors, so that it wouldn't meet and start squabbling over differences over 9/11, but people who are important within the movement, I could go to them or they could come to me and make suggestions about how to keep this project moving forward. And then mainly we're just looking for maximum collaboration all over the place because of the urgency and everything for unity. The last thing I just want to report is that I didn't mention last time, I don't think that we have our website is called 911crashtest.org, with no spaces between the words. And if you go to 911crashtest.org, on the right-hand side, there's a list of recent posts. And the top two are two interviews that we've done relatively recently. One is called Pablo Novi and Steve Dayak at AUN, American Underground Network. We did that a couple of weeks ago. And before that, I was on with Jim Fetzer at the Real Deal. People can follow those links and listen to those interviews and get more of a sense of what we're about. The last couple of things I'd just add is that I sent an email to you, Ken, and to Barbara saying that I thought Barbara's video on the 9/11 museum tour was excellent, and also her earlier one on the Pentagon scene was excellent. My critique of that was more detailed, so I'll come back to you I'll watch that the 9/11 tour one again and come back with more details. I listened
to. Thank you, and please try to do so by the end of the weekend. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Then I watched one or two of Dwayne Dietz's presentations and thought they were excellent. And I also watched the one with this presentation by Christopher Bolin at the San Diego Truth Convention, and it's really impressive to see like 100 people in the audience. San Diego's really organized. It makes me feel bad after having lived there for 40 years. And so that's what I got to say.
Okay. Well, thank you for a pretty concise update. That's a lot of technical information that you had to get off across, but I thought you did a great job. Who has a comment or a question for Guillermo?
I do, Barb.
Great, Barb. Anybody else? Barb?
Ron.
Who else? Ron? Who else?
Mike.
Mike. Okay, so Barb, you're first.
Yeah, just Pablo, thanks so much for what you're doing, and I'm just curious if after the last call I gave you the contact information for one of the world's foremost crash and high-velocity impact experts, Dr. David Grissom, who lives in Mexico. Have you been able to get in touch with him?
Yes, I'm in touch with him, and we're talking.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, Bart?
The comment I was going to make was you mentioned wood poles. Don't forget the aluminum poles that were at the Pentagon and what they should have done. So if you're going to fly things at poles, maybe a Pentagon-type pole would be an interesting thing to see, because there's some people who say that it would have taken the wing off before it even got there. And you got to the building, if it even went there, which, of course, I don't think it did. And then the other thing is those wings have a lot of fuel in them, typically, and if you ever shoot hollow point rounds at milk jugs filled with water, if the jug is empty, it's a whole different effect than if it's a lot of fluid in there. And if a wing's full of fuel and it hits, it should have been a pretty interesting thing rather than merely melting into the towers.
Exactly.
Yes, we originally had the idea of running it with water, but then somebody objected. Oh. If we do a wing, it will be full of fuel.
Well, it's a lot of fuel and a lot of money, but you know, something that's a reasonable simulation.
Yes, good point.
Okay, thank you, Bart. Ron.
Yeah, I think that's pretty interesting, Pablo. One thing that came to my mind quickly was you could maybe have one of these lightweight carbon fuselage, nose of the fuselage, and put it on the sled, the rocket sled, and eject it into a wall built similar to that of the Pentagon. And you could even do the column field inside the Pentagon all the way to the next ring and the wall in the back. They say the fuselage pierced the front and went all the way through and came out the other side in a hole. And
But they couldn't find it.
That would be entirely humorous. I mean, that would be, I think that would be a tremendously humorous experiment.
Yeah, we'll keep that in mind. That's a good suggestion.
Okay.
That's a great suggestion. Okay, and finally, Mike, you got something, Mike?
Yeah, just a real quick comment. Last couple of days, I saw a photograph I think it was a 747 that had hit a noise abatement, just light aluminum louvers at the end of a runway, and it totally destroyed the end of the airplane. It crashed all around it. There was no strength to it at all. There has to be a lot of photographs of similar crash sites that, you know, if you make a documentary out of this, it would be very illustrative to have multiple historical crash sites that, you know, destroy the airplane with virtually nothing out there. I just wanted to throw that in because I just seen that recently.
Yeah, by the way, that very image is in behind the smoke curtain, the one you're referring to with the sound wall.
Okay.
That isn't all that light. It has to take the blast of the jet engine and re-aim it up in the air so that it doesn't blow dust and take out cars on the highway just behind it or whatever. But it's certainly a lot lighter than the Twin Towers were.
That's right.
And much lighter than the Pentagon walls.
Right.
this is way. It was also in the walking tour, I believe. Over.
Yes, it is. Uh-huh. You're right.
Yeah, that's where I saw it. Good.
So our thinking overall is to do this as professionally as possible and build toward the eventual rocket sled test, including using a fundraising site to raise the $500,000 or whatever it's going to take to rent the site, to buy the plane, to do the whole setup. And an important part will be to have that documentary. We'll take the best footage from everything that's been produced and put it all in one place so people can see all these different examples of aluminum planes against birds, against wires, against cements, against the Empire State Building, et cetera. So people can look at all that stuff and start questioning whether a plane can just go through like a knife through butter like we see in those videos.
Okay.
Comment.
Who's this?
Nico.
Nico. Okay, go ahead, Nico.
Yeah, Pablo. Is that right, Pablo?
Yes.
Yeah, that's, by the way, is my computer developer's name. What you're doing right now is essentially what I'm looking for. I want to sponsor practically, well, everything that you have written about, all your posts. If I could have them just rewritten a little bit, we could publish them through a world-class publishing platform, direct more traffic to your information and to your site. And, you know, your whole idea of archiving everything and creating a nice, easy-to-find reference for all 9/11 facts is exactly what we want to do. And the only tweak to that is at the end of every blog, at the end of every publication, we want to direct people to joining and getting involved in mailing lists, social media groups, and, you know, our what will be the official relaunch of the 9/11 CC campaign. So that your evidence is directing people to action. That's what we want to see happen. So, I mean, I'd love to talk to you. We can have a lot of you know, things that will cross-benefit both of our projects we're working on for the cause.
All right. Great networking spirit there. Can you get back in touch with him then?
I guess so, from the contact of 911crashtest.org, yeah.
Okay. Great. So, with that, I think we're going to have to wrap up. We're actually pretty far past time, but we do want to take a moment for announcements. If anybody has any announcements, but thank you, Pablo, for the update. And we'll put your item as a regular item on our agenda for updating purposes. So anytime you can join us, any month you can join us, you're just welcome to come on. And if you have a special thing you want to do, let me know ahead. Otherwise, we'll just let us know what's new, okay?
Thank you very much.
I've got to make an announcement this time because it'll be too late next time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay. Many of you may know that Todd Fletcher took his own life and the life of his wife a couple of weeks ago. Devastated David Ray Griffin. Todd Fletcher was his deep editor, along with Elizabeth Woodward as David Ray Griffin's researcher. And there will be, we've got a date and a time for a physical memorial service with testimonials. It's going to be in Berkeley, California, November 22nd, JFK Assassination Anniversary Day, from 1 to 4 p.m. in Berkeley, California. And we are, actually, I'm working with Vic Sadat of Northern California 9/11 Truth, who is, it's going to be at the Fellowship Hall in Berkeley. What I'll do is I'll get the details to Craig and Ken, and we'll put it out in the agenda. I'm working with Vic Sadat to make it possible to call in or teleconference in or Skype in. We don't yet know exactly what format, but at a very minimum, a call in, a telephone call with a you know, speakerphone. For David Ray Griffin cannot be there, and so Tim Eastman, David Ray Griffin's physics consultant, all these people want to be able to call in their testimonials live. So if you would like to, I'll just give all the information to Ken and Craig, and we can put it out in the minute.
Just Craig, just to Craig, okay?
Just Craig, okay. Right.
Yeah, thank you, Barbara. Okay, any other announcements?
One very quick question to Barbara. It's absolutely certain he wasn't suicided or even with MKUltra or drugs made to do
absolutely,
it himself?
Absolutely, absolutely certain he took his own life. His wife was in intense pain, and he had promised her he would help her there was no hope for her. And he decided he didn't want to live without her. He'd been taking care of her every day for 25 years, and they went out together.
Wow. Okay.
And he sent a letter. He sent letters to his good friends Bonnie Faulkner and David Ray Griffin and others that arrived literally right after they had died. And there's no question it's from Todd.
Okay. Sorry to hear about it.
Yeah, very much so.
Any other announcements?
Oh, is Pablo here?
Pablo, go ahead.
Anybody can write to us and suggest other groups to be in touch with or other places to be interviewed so we can keep getting more word out about the 9/11 crash test. Be much appreciated.
Okay. All right. Yes. Any other announcements?
This is Wayne. I just want to encourage everyone to get involved with the declassifying the 28 pages, and you can again see information on 911truthoutreach.org. It's just one of the portals to information on that. That's all. Thanks.
Okay. So, and be sure to send that information to Craig if he doesn't have it yet, so that we'll be sure to get that in a minute. So, with our other announcements, then I guess thank you all for your participation and your cooperation tonight. We'll see you the last Wednesday of, let's see, that would be November.
November.
Yes, so, December, I'm sorry, December, yes. No, yes.
No, November.
Oh,
well.
November,
I was right the first time. Okay, so next, the last Wednesday of November, it'll be me again. And until then, good night.
Adios.
Good night.
Thank you.